Okay, so we are working our way through those verses or those character traits. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 while we're turning there. So we're going to be on faith today. Hebrews chapter 11. Bet you guys wouldn't have guessed we were going to go there and talk about faith. Yeah, verse 1. All right, somebody read Hebrews 11, 1. All right, so the word substance there, what do you guys think that means? It's the substance of things hoped for.
Drugs.
You said drugs? Not drugs. Yeah, okay.
Like the thing.
That word is also translated in the Bible as confidence. So, yeah, it's like the evidence would kind of be another word, but that's already in the verse later on. So it gives us confidence. Of what we are putting our hope in. Do you have a question already?
Why?
She's not here.
Why?
Lincoln's at a wrestling meet. It's his first one.
Spartan.
She had to take him there.
Okay, well, who's the other kid?
He's working the wrestling meet. He has to because he's in wrestling. All right. So faith. Faith is the substance. Faith gives us the confidence of things that we are hoping for. So when the Bible uses the word hope, it does not use the word hope in the way that we use it. When we use the word hope, what are we saying? What's another word for hope in the way that we use it?
Wish.
A synonym. Yeah, a wish. Like, I hope that this thing happens. Like, I don't really have any reason to think that it will, maybe. I'm wishing that it would happen. When the Bible uses the word hope, it's talking about the hope that we have in Christ or the hope that we have of things to come. It's not like us wishing that those things are happening. We have an expectation that those things are going to happen. So faith is the confidence that gives us, or it gives us the confidence to be able to look to things in the future, our eternity, and have confidence that those things are going to come to pass. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. You can hold your place in Hebrews because we're going to come back. But go to Titus chapter 1. There's tons of verses about hope in the Bible, obviously. I think it's in there 250-ish times. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Somebody read that.
Hope of eternal life, which God hath not lied, promised before the world began.
Okay, so we have hope of eternal life because God, who cannot lie, promised us eternal life before the world began. Okay, so that's when the Bible talks about hope, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about, it is something that hasn't happened yet. So, can we know it for sure? You know, yes, we can, because God promised it to us. And so, when God makes a promise, and God can't lie, then, you know, it becomes an expectation for us. It's not that we're hoping that it's gonna happen, it's, we're waiting for it to happen, we have an expectation that it will happen. Okay, so faith gives us, back in Hebrews, faith gives us the confidence, to put our hope in what the Bible says. About what is going to come to pass. Anybody know how many times the word faith shows up in the Bible?
212.
Very close. I said 250 for hope. It was actually 247 for faith is what I had in my mind. I don't know how many times hope is in the Bible, but faith is in there 247 times. Any guesses on how many times it's in the Old Testament?
175.
167.
Had to do it, didn't you?
I wasn't going to, but then Brendan did.
Five.
It's two. Very good guess. Two times in the Old Testament. I was surprised too. I thought it'd be in there more. So probably words like faithful, you know, those kinds of things are probably in there more often than that. But just the word faith, only in there twice. Once in Deuteronomy, once in Habakkuk. So kind of a little bit surprising to me as well. Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, you guys are turning around a bunch at the beginning here. We won't be turning the whole time. I just want to kind of get some context and some foundation on some of these words that we're talking about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30.
6, verse
30.
Yep.
Let's get to 4.
Therefore, God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you,
Okay, so this is the first mention of faith in the New Testament, and it's Jesus kind of chastising these people for not having faith. And he's saying, like, listen, God can take care of the grass of the field. God, and that stuff's going to last, you know, not long at all. Don't you think God cares more about you than he cares about the grass of the field? Don't worry about God taking care of your needs. He's going to get you covered. Oh, ye of little faith is basically what he's saying. And that whole passage is kind of there talking about having faith in God taking care of his people, that passage. But that's the first mention of it. And then go to Ephesians chapter 6. I know, sorry, bro. You're not going to get a bite of that thing for a second. Yeah, it's a little like kind of... Ephesians 6, verse 16.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
All right, so we have... You've heard all of these verses in here about the armor of God, right? All these different components of this armor. And faith is the shield. And so it says that we should be, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What are the fiery darts of the wicked? Give me some examples.
Temptation.
Huh? Temptation, okay. Worldly lusts, yeah. What else? Money, yeah. Trials, yeah. Yes, trials and tribulations. Thank you, Hallie, for that contribution. I know. It's anything that, like, the enemy might throw you. It can be, like, questions that might cause you to doubt, you know, if God exists. Huh? Yeah, like the temptation to be disobedient. Yeah. Questions that might cause you to doubt, you know, if there is a God, why does he let bad things happen? You know, those kinds of questions. Or how do you know that what the Bible says is actually what God, you know, wanted, said? You know, it was written by men. It was written so long ago. How do you know? We don't have any of the original documents left. How do you know that the Bible is accurate? It could be all the things you guys said. Temptations and trials and tribulations, both. All of those things could be counted in that. So, anything that the enemy would throw at us to disrupt our walk with God. So, obviously it's going to be different for different people, but these fiery darts are meant to get us off track of walking with the Lord. So, anything that's going to do that, whether it's doubt in your mind, whether it's a temptation that draws you away, whether it's whatever, it can be any number of things. But this verse says that we're supposed to take the shield of faith so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay, so we're going to use our faith to overcome and to not allow those things to knock us off track, right? When we have faith, then we're not so worried about how do we know that the Bible is true. Well, because I have faith in the fact that God exists, I can see that. I can see that in creation. I believe that in my heart that God is real. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I put my faith in Him. And now, if I believe that God exists and that He created everything, it seems like a very small task that He would be able to preserve what He wanted said for me to have access to that today. Since He's not speaking audibly to us anymore, it's a little bit less faith. If my foundation is like I put my faith in God's existence and the fact that He loves me and that He sent His Son to die for me, if I can put my faith in that, then of these additional steps, it's a little bit less faith to take the fact that the Word of God has been preserved for us. It's a little bit less faith to trust that, you know, I may not know why bad things happen to certain people or in certain situations, but I have to trust that God has a plan for those things and that the Bible says that, you know, all things work together for good to them that love Him, right? To them that are called according to His purpose. So, like, if God says that, and I've already put my faith in Him, then having faith in Him is going to make each one of those steps just a little bit easier. And so that's the importance of having that shield of faith, is to be able to block those fiery darts, to be able to quench those fiery darts, as this verse tells us. If I have faith that, God wants me to walk with Him and God has a plan for my life, then the temptations that come along, my faith should be able to help me withstand some of those. Maybe I fall into temptation sometimes, but like I should be able to, on the whole, I should be able to get stronger and exercise those things because I have faith that God has a different purpose for my life, and anything that doesn't get me closer to him, anything that would distract me from walking with him, is not good for me, right? Not because, you know, I just want all these rewards in heaven, which is a great reason to strive, but I have faith that God has a plan for me, and if I get knocked off track every time something gets thrown at me, then I'm not going to be able to walk in that path very good. I'm not going to be able to fulfill that purpose that he has for me if I'm getting knocked off track. So our faith, having that shield, the faith is so important because it's going to be able to quench those darts. That's why it says above all taking the shield of faith. Okay, it's important to have on all these other body or all these other coverings, the helmet, the shoes, the loins, all of those things, but the shield that can protect, you know, our whole body, right? It's a powerful weapon that we have. All right, so go back to Hebrews chapter 11 where we started. I should have held my place there. All right, so it says that faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for, not things that we wish would happen, but things that we are waiting for, expecting that they will happen. The evidence of things not seen. Okay, so our faith is founded in evidence. So I took a class in HBI. Pastor Randy taught it, and I think it was in the systematic theology class that he taught. And he was talking about, like, some people who are not Christians would say that we are blindly following or we have blind faith about the God that we serve. And they would say things like, you know, that you can't know for sure, right? You've never seen God with your own eyes. You've never, you know, fill in the blank of whatever thing that they want to call into doubt. And so they would, some people would say that we are following God on blind faith. And this verse would be one of the key verses that you can use to refute that in your own life. You know, whether someone's telling you that or not, you know, just in your own time of quiet time, you know, like maybe you have doubts. Like we all have doubts from time to time. So when you have doubts, like this is one of the verses that you can stand on and say, no, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't have blind faith. We don't blindly follow a God that we can't see. Now, we can't see him physically, right? But it talks about in Romans how we can see God through his creation, right? And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And perhaps you've experienced, you know, having the Holy Spirit speak to you, not audibly, of course, but like through God's Word. Like we do have some evidence for the reasons that we follow along with God. It's not that we're following blindly. It's the evidence of things that we can't see. And so our faith is founded in evidence. And so if you look down just a few verses, you guys hopefully know Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of faith. So this whole chapter is talks about men and women of God, specifically in the Old Testament, that had faith, and God, you know, records some of the things that they did in this chapter. But in verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So why would this verse say that it's impossible to please God without faith? Faith is the building block that we use to have a relationship with God. It's the foundation that everything else is built on. Now, I know that Jesus Christ is also the foundation that everything is built on. But when we put our faith in Christ, that is how the foundation is formed. We cannot be saved without faith, right? What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? Anybody know? Top of their head?
What's it start with?
It's for
four.
Grace are you saved through faith.
I know that. I just need to.
He forgot the rest of it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that.
Not of yourselves. Not of works.
Oh, not of yourselves. It is a. Yeah. Of. Not of. Yes. Okay. So far by grace are you saved through faith. Okay. So yes, Jesus Christ is the foundation that we build upon for sure. But if we don't put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have that foundation to start with. Right? So faith is part of that foundation that it takes, that we have to build upon. So when this verse says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, we can't even have a relationship with God without faith. So it's impossible to please God because God wants us to have a relationship with him. Luke 15, verse 7 tells us that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So, okay, if there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, over one person that gets saved, over one person that turns from their sin and chooses to follow the Lord, there's joy in heaven for that thing, right? We talk about that sometimes. When someone gets saved, there's a celebration going on in heaven because of that. And so obviously God is pleased when people get saved. There's joy in heaven, and it takes faith to please God, it says. And so when we have that foundation, when we put our faith in Christ, that is the first step that lays the foundation of faith for the rest of our life. For the rest of our walk with the Lord, that foundation is laid because of the faith that we put in Jesus Christ. And so, look at Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So there's this whole list. I mean, the next verse is by faith Enoch, and then verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham, by faith he sojourned. There's a whole list of them. Like you got Jacob in verse 9. Sarah in verse 11, there's a whole list of these people from the Old Testament that did amazing things for God because they had faith in what God was saying and what God told them to do. So when we look at like Abel, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Okay, what did Abel offer as a sacrifice? Yeah, he offered a lamb, right? What did Cain offer to God? Huh?
The plants.
Yeah, the things that he had harvested, his crops, right? And God told them, like, hey, this is the kind of offering that you're supposed to offer. And so Abel chose to obey God, and Cain chose not to obey God. Think about what that would have been like. I mean, there's only, I don't know how many of their siblings had been born at that point. But there's Adam and Eve, right? There's Cain and Abel, and maybe there's a few others born at that time. But, you know, there's only a few people on the face of the planet at that time. And God tells them, this is the kind of sacrifice, this kind of offering that I want you to offer. And, you know, Abel chose his career, his path, to be a shepherd. Because that's the kind of offering that God wanted. Cain chose to be a farmer. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, they needed crops also to survive. But Abel made life decisions based on the truth of God's word, putting his faith in what God told him to do. Hey, we're going to need some lambs. That's what we're supposed to offer to God. So if we're going to need lambs, I'll be the one, I'll raise the lambs, right, that we can offer back to God. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, so by faith Noah, and he built the ark. Okay, I don't know how often you think about or maybe have ever thought about the kind of ridicule and mocking that Noah probably faced. Have any of you guys ever seen the movie Evan Almighty? Yeah, whenever he's building the ark. You haven't seen it? Have you seen it? Yeah, okay. So that's a very small, I think, example of it. It's kind of a silly movie. But the level of mocking and ridicule that he likely faced for building this ark, we don't really talk about that very much, but this verse tells us, being warned of God of things not yet, not seen as yet. What is the thing not seen as yet that Noah was dealing with? The flood. Like, rain did not exist prior to this. Okay? So, he's told by God, I want you to build a boat, and I want it to be big enough, you know, like multiple football fields big, to hold all these animals, because we're going to flood the earth. Water is going to fall from heaven, and it's going to flood everything, and whoever's not on this boat is going to die. Okay, that's the message that Noah had. And so, I mean, it's not like you can hide building a boat that's that big. Okay, so people are going to see what he's doing. Okay, the world was not that big and spread out yet. So, I mean, people are seeing this guy building this giant boat, and to the ridicule of him and his family, like, I just imagine how much making fun of this guy would have received. He's doing something because a voice told him to do it, and water's going to fall from the sky, and you think all of us are going to die, the entire world is going to die, except for you and your family and all these animals. Why are all these animals hanging around? Like, you know, I don't know at what point the animals showed up and all of that, like how God miraculously brought, you know, two of every kind of animal or seven kinds of the clean animals to get on this boat. But all of this stuff, you know, that I just imagine how much ridicule Noah faced for that. But he did it, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, okay, he was afraid of what was going to happen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, he did all of these things. He acted as if what God told him was going to happen was actually going to happen. That phrase, act as if our life is going to go the way that God says it's going to go. These guys, all of these guys that they're talking about with their faith, acted as if what God told them was going to happen was actually going to happen. You only prepare a gigantic boat if you really actually think that what God said is going to happen is going to happen. He's acting, he's living his life out as if what God has said is going to be true. And so you only do all that work. I mean, it took him years to build this boat. I don't know what the expense was, you know, where you get all the lumber. I mean, it's not like you just run down to the hardware store and pick up lumber like that. I don't know how he's getting all the trees. I don't know if they're, you know, they're cutting them down and they're having to plane them and get them all, you know, the right size and shape themselves. I don't know if you could just go get stuff like that. I don't know what he had to go through to actually get that kind of lumber to be able to build this boat, but he had to go through. He was acting for years as if this promise from God was actually going to come true. So it wasn't just, my point in all this is, when we're talking about our faith, I mean, I think we all kind of just know what faith is. We read those verses about it. You know, putting our trust in God, that's faith, right? But not just saying that with our words, not just, you know, saying that I believe God, or not just accepting Christ as my Savior and then moving on. That's not really having faith. I mean, yeah, you put your faith in Christ for salvation, but what we're talking about when we're talking about faith is living it out, like doing things with our life as if what God has said in His Word is true. So if these guys were acting, all of these guys were acting as if 100% of what God said was going to be completely true, and then they bet their life on it. I mean, Abel set up his career path to be a shepherd. Noah set up his life for years to get this boat prepared. Abraham, the very next verse in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Okay, Abraham packed up his whole family and said, you know, honey, God told me that we need to move. And she's like, you know, why are we moving? Why do we have to do this? Where are we going? And he's like, I don't even know. God just told us we're moving. And he said, we'll know when we get there. Like, we're just going to start walking, and whatever land we land on, where God tells us to stop, that's going to be our land, and that's going to be the inheritance of our people. And, like, that's a pretty bold move to make. Like, to pack up and move, you know, not knowing where you're going to end up, that takes faith. That's not just, yeah, okay, I believe what God says. No, it's like you actually do the things that God asks you to do. You follow through. You act as if. You spend your life doing the things as if what God said is going to be true. It's a different level of having faith. It's a different level of growing our faith. That's the kind of faith that it takes to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, right? Just saying that you believe what the Bible says, that is great. I mean, I hope you guys believe what the Bible says. There's some pretty crazy things in the Bible. Some things that in the Old Testament that happened, that's like, I mean, that's bold if you believe that. And then there's some things in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that haven't happened yet, that if you read it, you know, and you say, I believe what the Bible says, do you really believe all of these crazy things? Read the book of Revelation. There's a lot of stuff in there that's like, it's crazy, you know? So you can say that, okay, I believe what the Bible says, but do we live our life? Do we act as if everything that's in the Bible is true? Do we act as if the things that we know God has told us to do, to read our Bibles, to pray, to tell people about Jesus, you know, like, do we do those things? Do we act as if all of these things are true? Do we actually live our life as if we believe that the judgment seat of Christ will happen one day, and like we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an answer for all of the things that we're doing with our life. I would say none of us probably truly live with that kind of faith, where we really, truly, actually believe that that's going to happen. If you really, actually, truly believe, if I actually, really, truly believe that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ face to face someday in the future, maybe, you know, near future, and I have to stand there and watch a reel of my life, of all the things that I did and all the time that I wasted, what kind of an answer am I going to have for that? What kind of answer are you going to have for that? Like, we all waste time. Like, I'm not, like, condemning you guys or myself for, oh, you know, you can't spend time on your phone, you can't play video games, you can't watch movies. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But, like, we will give an account for the things that we're doing with our life. You know, there'll be, I'm sure there'll be video after video that I'm watching of, you know, oh, hey, Jesus is pointing out, hey, this lost guy, well, he walked right up to you and asked you for something. You didn't think to share the gospel with that guy? Why didn't you offer that guy the gospel? That guy's in hell today, Luke, because you didn't say anything. Or, you know, look at all this time you wasted. The total cumulative number of hours that you wasted not doing things that were of value. Those times that you fell asleep when you were reading your Bible. Man, why didn't you just try to read a little bit sooner? Why didn't you get off your phone a little bit sooner and read instead? Like, if we live our life acting as if the things in the Bible are true, it should change the way that we live our life. It's going to change elements of the way that we live our life. Turn over to Hebrews. James chapter 2. And again, none of this is like condemnation on you guys. I'm just saying that like our faith, if we're going to say that we have faith in God and we want to live a life full of faith, faith requires action. It's not just saying that we believe something that's in the Bible. It's actually doing the things that the Bible talks about. Verse 14 of James chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He's like, hey, if someone, you know, is in need of clothes, and you send them out and say, hey, be warm, depart in peace, you know, go your way and, you know, serve the Lord. No, you gotta give them some clothes. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's one of those kind of backwards verses. But, like, faith is great. But if you don't pair it with works, it's dead. There is no amount of faith that you can say, I believe all of these things, and then you actually do nothing. That's not faith. There is works involved in faith. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Cool. Satan also believes that. All of his, you know, all of the fallen angels, they also believe that. That's not, like, that profound. Okay, I mean, it's profound, for sure. But, like, if Satan believes it also, I mean, like, that, okay, we're not working our way up very far off the bottom. If we're in the same boat as Satan, I'm just believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead for our sins. Okay, Satan observed all of those things. Okay, that's not news to him. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought without his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Okay, it's not just about saying that we believe what the Bible says or we believe what God says. It's about action. So when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, taking this all the way back to that and to really the title of this series is having an impact, right? How do we have an impact on those around us, and what kind of an impact are those around us having on us? Okay, how does faith, how does the fruit of the Spirit tie into that? Okay, having faith That's going to happen the more that we walk with God. You know, like, God's not going to ask you to do something that's like above your ability or above your capability, right? It's going to take baby steps. Placing your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that's like baby step number one. It's a small step to say, man, I need hope in my life. And I've heard that there's hope in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm going to confess my sins to Him. I'm going to ask Him to come into my heart and save me. And then I'm going to move forward from that. And that's baby step number one. And then God's just going to start working. Hey, you know, why don't you start trying to read your Bible a little bit? Maybe throw up a prayer every once in a while. See how these things go. Work through these things. And then if you're 5 years down the road from your salvation date and you're still trying to figure out that you should read your Bible and that you should pray, okay, you're behind. You gotta get on it. Like, you can't be a 5-year-old spiritual Christian that doesn't still know how to do the basic fundamental things. You can't be a 10-year-old baby Christian who doesn't know how to do the fundamental things, right? We have to start taking those steps. And so the more that we walk in the Spirit, the more that we do the things that feed our spiritual side, that feed the Holy Spirit inside of us, the more control of our life that we give to the Holy Spirit, the more these things are going to become manifest in our life. We put a little bit of faith in what God says. Hey, I'm going to trust God for this thing. I'm going to trust that God's going to answer this one prayer that I have. Maybe not in the way that I wanted to answer, but He's going to answer this prayer. And then you just pray it diligently for a day, a week, a month, however long it takes. And then God answers that prayer and it's like, wow. Okay, now I've seen the evidence that we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now I see the evidence of what I've been talking about having faith. And so now I'm going to ask a bigger thing. I'm going to pray a different thing. Or I'm going to put my trust in, I feel like God is leading me, you know, to this career path or this college or to marry this girl or to marry this guy. Or I feel like God's leading me in this way. I'm going to get some counsel from my pastor, my parents, you know, my discipler, all these different people and see what they think about this. And I'm going to pray specifically about that thing. God, do you want me to go to this college? God, I feel like I'm gifted in this area to do something with my life in this field. Is that where you want me to be, God? Ask people around you that know you, that are spiritual people that can give you wise counsel. And then pray to God, like, is this what you want for my life? And then read His Word and put your trust in that. And as you, like, put a little bit of faith in God and see if those things be true or not, and as God reveals those things, it's going to grow your faith. That's how you, walking in the Spirit, that's how it manifests faith in your life. You know, like, if you meet a Christian that's 20 years down the road and they've been faithful to the Lord that time and they've been, you know, praying and seeing God answer prayer and praying and seeing God answer prayer and like they've been living their life according to what the Bible says and according to the direction that God leads them, well, they have 20 years of evidence. They're not going to be shaken by, oh man, something bad happened. You know, why does God let these bad things happen? That's not going to shake them. They've got 20 years of evidence to the contrary. God does exist. God does care. Of course bad things happen. That's not, you know, God making or allowing those bad things to happen. You know, there's other reasons for that. God has a plan. God can work all these things. So the more time and the more, you know, faith, bits of faith that we invest in, you know, serving the Lord, and as, over time, as He answers those things, it's going to only solidify and strengthen that faith that we have. And so I heard something the other day, like, you know, we can't always see, like, if you think about, like, in a battle, you know, you can't always, the soldiers are not seeing the whole plan necessarily, right? They can't see the whole battlefield. They can't see the whole war. They don't know what's going on all these different fronts. They just have to do their job to win this one area of the battle, right? There's somebody above them, a commander, that can see more of it. And then above them, there's, you know, a general that's, like, in charge of everybody. And they have to move all these troops in such a way that on the whole, they can win. Maybe they withdraw from this part of the battle and they pull their troops back because they need to deploy them on a more important area, right? And so we can't see God's whole plan. We can't see all of the ways that God is working. We can only see, like, what God allows us to see, the field that's in front of us. And so if we're faithful to do our job in the field that we're in, like, maybe God can pull us out of that field and put us in another field that needs us even more, right? That's what missionaries do. That's what church planters and pastors do, right? God pulls them, what they're already doing in one place, and He transplants them to another place that maybe needs it more, or that they are uniquely suited to fit that area. Well, God's not going to pull somebody who's not being faithful and not doing the things that they're supposed to do and then deploy them on another battlefield to do another kind of battle. Like, that's not what God's not going to do that if we're not doing the things where we are. And I'm not saying like you have to be a missionary, you have to be a church planner. That's how you know God's using you. I don't mean that at all. People can be, you know, any variety of different things, and God can use you. But I'm just saying we don't always see the whole battlefield. We don't always see the war that's going on, right? The spiritual battle that's going on behind the scenes. Sometimes we only catch glimpses of it, and you know, it's hard to like put our faith in what we're doing. Just put our faith in God knows what He's doing. God has it all of it under control, and just follow along with what the path that God has for you, because He can see the whole battle, right? Okay, we're over time. Anybody have any-